Hey y'all, it's Connor. Welcome back to another week of drama. Thank you so much for hitting that cute little download button to give us that little download number that really helps boost us in the charts, which is ultimately not something we really care about that much, but it really does help. Anyway, thank you for downloading this episode with Briga Helin, the star of Once Upon a One More Time on Broadway. Before we get into it, I want you to pull out your phone, go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you'll become a subscriber to Drama Plus, our Patreon, where you get access to bonus episodes and Instagram close friends content. You're not going to want to miss it. We put the plus in Drama Plus. Wait, does that make sense? Makes sense to me personally. So anyway, thank you. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy Drama Plus. Again, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you get to support your favorite podcast, Drama. What more could you need? Anyway, time for the show.
Press play. Curtain up an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, we both appeared on this Zoom earlier in pink, although I changed to like a muted plum.
You did.
Because I didn't want us to look like we were like too on theme for our guest today, which I don't know why I'm associating pink with our guest.
Well, I was feeling pink because I saw Barbie.
Well, right. But it's also that big day, big weekend, and Britney Spears released a new song today. So there's a lot of pink and tiny things. I haven't heard it yet.
Was it really her on the vocal? Which I don't know if we'll get into today. But anyway, Dylan, you saw Barbie too.
I saw Barbie as well. There's not a sequel yet to Barbie.
There will be though, right? I mean,
I think there's going to be a Ken type film.
I'm jumping into it, but Barbie was amazing. Totally lived up to the hype. I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, it was
would
brilliant.
Totally go again. And is it bad to say that Ryan Gosling was my favorite part about it? I loved everything, but he was so good. I think it took me by surprise. I mean, I've always loved him, but
I gotta say, I think he always, to me, his roles have either been kind of like an asshole or like even his character in La La Land, like I think he takes himself too seriously at times. This was where he took himself seriously, but he knew he was the joke.
Yeah, for sure.
Brilliant. And I have to say, Margot Robbie, what can't she do?
I agree. I know. She was a star.
And I loved her English, like her American accent that she did.
Yeah.
It really felt natural. She wasn't doing her Harley Quinn character or, you know, she's played characters, you know, she's played historical people. But this to me felt the most lived in. I think that was in the character, you know, stereotypical
for sure.
Barbie.
Wait, how fun is the new Barbie theme song that Lizzo sings?
Amazing.
I cannot get enough. It was just great. The music, the set design, the direction was fantastic. It had true elements of camp that I don't think we've seen in many movies lately that haven't felt corny. Like it felt intentionally like they were in on the joke.
Totally.
In a big budget way. It was so good. Oh my God. Loved.
I have to also say my favorite element of like putting pieces together was the lore of like the discontinued Barbies and things that. Because, you know, as children, you and I did famously play with Barbies, which caused a stir in the neighborhood. And I remember my oboe teacher's husband's brother running into him years ago when we were adults, and the first question
Figure out who this person is. Oboe teacher's who?
Brandon's friend's dad.
Oh, okay. Oh, I remember
brother.
This now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep going.
First question that he asked our mother when we ran into him years later was, "Now they don't still play with Barbies, do they?" And we were like 16, and I remember thinking, "That's what you remember about us." But anyways, we obviously loved it, and so it was very fun to like get into that world again. Because I think the people who have a true connection to Barbie especially will be emotional about it.
For sure.
It's very fun. It's like Toy Story vibes in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, a film about self-actualization and sort of like coming into your own power, which is similar to another show we're going to be discussing today, Once Upon a One More Time, currently on Broadway. And I'm thinking about both shows in one because that connection is certainly there. And we're going to get all into it with our guest. This has been a long time in the making, Dylan.
Can I just say, I love our guest so much. And it's like we've known each other forever. But today's the first day we actually really met. But
I know. So everyone, our guest today is currently making her Broadway debut as Cinderella, the leading lady of Once Upon a One More Time, the new musical bursting with the music of living legend Britney Jean Spears. You recognize her gorgeous talent from television credits that include Great News on NBC, Ground Floor on TBS, Love on Netflix, Undateable on NBC, Be Positive, Cougar Town, Jane by Design on ABC Family. Oh my God, remember that show? Curb Your Enthusiasm, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Happy Endings, Modern Family, and much more. Our guest is overflowing with her triple threat talent. She's a wife, a mother, an inspiration, and a hardworking star who you can see shining 8 times a week right now in New York City. We are so very lucky to have this superhero princess on the podcast today. Please welcome to Drama, Briga Helin.
Oh my goodness. You guys. Also me sitting here just like silently rocking back and forth.
I did notice that. Just I loved
the
it.
The biggest can't control my body while you're talking. You guys, I'm so excited about this. And thank you for that insane introduction. But enough about me, because I have to tell you guys, this is coming from my heart. I discovered this podcast at the beginning of the pandemic after our show had shut down. And I went, what can I do to learn anything about what I hopefully someday get to go back to do? And what I found I could do is listen much more intently to people that have done what I was going to be doing as a newbie for the very first time. And I don't listen to many podcasts, admittedly. I have listened to every single episode of this one.
Oh my gosh.
it's getting weird, and it's going to keep getting weird. But how much I learned, in all seriousness, from listening to the way that you make people feel comfortable talking to you about what they do and who they are within what they do, I learned so much from this podcast before going back into work that I really do feel not only strangely connected to you, which I hope you're okay with, it's too late. I genuinely learned so much from this podcast that made me feel equipped in ways I didn't realize I didn't feel equipped before going back to work. So thank you. I've been very excited to say that to you at some point. So I'm thrilled.
Briga, I'm speechless.
Which is a great thing to be on a podcast, ultimately, speechless. But this means the world to us, seriously. God. I remember when we first connected on Instagram and we were DMing and we were like, I think you told us you're a fan. And we were like, what?
I was like, if they asked me to do this podcast, like, I fucking made it. Like, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Oh my gosh. That is coming from you. That means a lot, because you are literally a superstar. So thank you.
Oh my God.
That's so fun. I literally, do you have any episodes you remember standing out to you at the time? Like,
oh my Lord.
Like who hooked you in, or was it just kind of like,
who hooked me in was I wanted to listen to, cause I had spent a week with Aisha. Yeah. We rehearsed for like a week before getting shut down. And mm-hmm. I quickly just fell in love with this cast. Mm-hmm. And then I went, well, what can I, I can learn more. Aisha has this episode of this thing. Great. And I'll listen to that. And I listened to Justin's episode.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, it was so wonderful learning about these people that I'd just spent a week with. And then I also was like, but these brothers though, I want to hear. And I just truly, like, it's just, you guys make this, create this incredible vibe. And so I just, it was like, I learned because I wanted to hear my coworkers talk, but then I continued to listen because I just loved the energy of it so much. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. That was my hook in.
That's so great. And since then, Jen Simard has done an episode.
Oh, wait, when did I?
She wasn't announced for your show yet. This was like right before Tony nominations last year.
Oh, yes. I've heard Jen's episode. Yes.
Yeah, she's, oh my God. We'll get into your fabulous castmates, but
we must.
Trying to think if there's anyone else from Once Upon a One More Time that we've had on. Well, Josh, is his last name Tall or Toll?
Josh Toll, yeah.
He and mm-hmm. I go back to like when he did his 54 Below show. I helped him with like the marketing and stuff like that. And so I've always been a fan of him. And to see that he's in this show is so incredible, because he pivoted away during the pandemic.
He pivoted, and it was the most astonishingly beautiful thing. I can't, you know, he mm-hmm. went to medical school and yeah. it was like, and then completed. And then I think the story goes, you'll have to check with him, but was like about to start his first day of work and got the call for this.
That's,
you know,
crazy. That's so crazy.
But God, we're very lucky to have that man. Yeah. He's wonderful.
Yes. He told me he covers the narrator, which would be fascinating, but
he does. He does. It would be a really different whole thing. But I'm also interested in what that would
sure.
be.
Oh, for yeah. sure. He has such a great voice for like a pop score song in general.
Yeah, I know.
I'm obsessed with him. I mean, let's think about you though. Because listen, we jumped into it, and also I'm still riding high from your intro to
I'll
us.
I'll give it to you again.
I seriously feel like it's a fool. But I want to know how you're doing. Are you well?
I am well. I am so unbelievably well. I mean, I'm still a little bit in disbelief that I get to be on Broadway and that I get to come into the city and that this is my life. Balancing, I'm sort of, now that we've opened the show and we're still, you know, we're doing some press and all of that stuff. So it is still quite busy, and I'm trying to really dig into the mother family work mm-hmm. balance. And I doubt that I'll ever feel like I have it, like I've got the scales all calibrated, but right now that's sort of the name of the game for me in terms of, you know, just how I'm feeling on a day-to-day basis is, you know, quality time on both ends. But man, is it an incredible thing to be juggling. It's the best. And not juggling, they're not exclusive, you know. It's like I could not do this job if I didn't have the family that I have. And you know, my daughter is so integrated into this experience, and I'm just very, they're not exclusive. They work together.
I like the way you put that. That's really cool, because how can you keep parts of your life compartmentalized like that? You know, it surely spills over.
It has to. I don't know. I mean, for me, it has to spill over, especially with a show like this too, where the spirit of it is, in the end, is quite literally about passing the future on to mm-hmm. a young girl, you know, a child. And so it's like, that'd be pretty strange if I,
right.
if I was like, no.
Exactly. Wait, so, and your daughter is six?
She's six, yes.
Okay, so is that kindergarten, or is that pre-K, or like what's the...
She's going into first grade, baby.
But summer currently, so...
Summer currently, just mm-hmm. some afternoon camp. It's going to be good.
Does she want to play the reader in Once Upon a One More Time?
You know, it's really interesting. She loved her kindergarten play. She had a great time. In the show, she said, I would want to be mermaid because I don't want to talk, I don't want to say lines, but I do want to belt at the end. And I was like, yeah.
It's a great track.
It's a great track. She knows exactly what she wants to do. But she has met our little girls in the cast, Mila and Bella. And every once in a while, I would sort of see her go like, do you think I would be good as Lejeune? And I go, yeah, if that's what, you know, if that's what you wanted to do, yeah. But she's definitely like, she's got her eye out on, uh-huh. wait a second.
Oh, that's funny.
Someone my age could do that?
That's cute.
Oh, also, I have to tell you, I saw on your husband's Instagram, mm-hmm. the post he did for, I think it was for opening night, or maybe it was first preview or something. Oh
no,
my
no,
God.
No, I started to read that on opening night and I said, I absolutely cannot, mm-hmm. because it felt, I could cry. Oh, it's happening. It feels funny to say we're not a particularly like social media heavy family, you know, but so it does feel odd, but true to say that, like, I felt so deeply seen and loved in that. Yeah, it kind of left me speechless. And I have that in the well of things to refer back to when I need to really feel something real big.
When you're doing life with somebody, you don't probably get that sort of, I mean, I'm in a long-term relationship too. It's like, there's not necessarily that daily posts out there for the world to see.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And that is, there is something about that means something slightly different, I suppose, or adds something slightly different. Yeah. And we're really good, I think, about trying to pause and sort of reflect back to one another and acknowledge one another. I think we are very good at that, actually. But, you know, we were coming out of a pandemic and we moved across the country and we both sort of dug in and made these huge moves to make this dream come true for me and then continue what he was working on. You know, we were really sort of grinding to make all these wonderful pieces fall into place. And then, so then at the end of it, to be able to reflect on that and really look at where we had arrived was very moving.
Totally. I mean, and he's so talented too. You know, we're unsure of how much we can say about television projects, but he is a TV, mostly TV actor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he is so talented himself. So
he's amazing. He is the smartest and funniest person that I've ever met in my life.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Were you guys always LA based?
Yeah, we were. We were there for like 10 or something years, and he was there for a long time before then. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
How'd you guys meet?
We met on a sitcom. It was both of our first big serious regular jobs, you know, so we were very, very focused on work. And I remember I just loved telling this, so I'm going to tell it again. But yeah. I remember, you know, we were friends first. We weren't really looking for that or looking at one another that way. And then all of a sudden it was like, you spend so much time with people that I sort of started to notice him reacting to different things. You know, what is that they say? That's like, you fall in love with someone watching them do, that's an acting thing or something, like watching them do something, not say something. I don't know, but that was eloquent. Good.
No, but I've heard that said before in a different way, but for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But that was sort of what happened. It was like, he would do these bits and it was like the funniest thing. He did like a nervous man in khakis who was very nervous to enter stage. And I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I have to be with somebody that's that funny. It was like, oh no. Now that I know there's someone that funny, I got to find someone that funny. Mm. Shit. And then I remember someday at one point, someone was like choking on something and the way he like went over and sort of was there for this situation and la la. And I went, oh God, I got to find somebody that reacts like that. Oh. And it was all these things. And then all of a sudden I just was like, wait a minute. What if it's just that guy? And then some would say I pursued him.
Oh, no shame. No shame in that.
It went great.
Clearly.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do you remember when you made like the first move from friendship to, I don't know. I kind of have a crush.
I do. I remember the exact moment. I hope he's okay with me sharing it, but I think so. And we were walking from the soundstage back to my dressing room, and our dressing rooms happened to be next to one another. And I sort of was going to go into mine. And earlier on in the day, I had had no makeup on or whatever. And he said, well, you look really nice without makeup. And then at the end of the day, I had a full face on or whatever. And we sort of turned to say bye. And he was like, you look really nice with it too. And it was like a bam. It was wild. It was wild.
Oh my
and
God, I'm blushing.
It was like I blinked and I opened my eyes and I was like, oh no. Oh, I'm in love. Okay. Yeah. Aww, but it's cool because sometimes that happens on one end or the other, but it happened to both of us in the exact same second, which was way cool.
Meant to be. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh my goodness.
Love it. I'm thinking now about how, okay, you guys were always LA based and then your daughter was always LA based. So did she start school here already?
She did. Yeah. She did her whole kindergarten year in New Jersey. It was a smooth year considering especially all the huge change that happened right before it. So
yeah,
I'm very proud of her.
Had you ever lived in New York before?
I was born in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
I was Massachusetts. And so I actually grew up on the East Coast. So okay. I grew up popping into New York and I had a grandma in Connecticut. And I lived in New York for like a mysterious 2 years post-college.
Okay.
A mysterious 2 years.
Yes. For a mysterious 2 years, I was in a relation. I was like telling myself, I was like, I'm going to New York because I'm trained in musical theater and that's what you do. And everyone was like, maybe try and get your equity card or like have any idea what you're doing. And I was like, no. But, you know, I had mostly moved there for a relationship. As
yeah, of
we
course.
Do. And then I naturally went, oh, I am not here for the right reasons. It became abundantly clear that I was not here for the right reasons. And I remember, actually, it's so funny. I was sitting out. I remember exactly where I was in New York when I just knew that I had to go back. It was like, I do pride myself on sometimes my gut feelings have to be very loud to listen to them, but I do get them. And for the most part, I think I honor them pretty well.
Yes, I'm the same way.
You know,
you got to listen to your
you
gut.
Absolutely must. It's like, there's so little else that you really have as a touchstone for like almost any choice at the end of the day. And like, but I think it's like, it's so easy to go, oh, your gut is like a feelings-based thing. So it's not, but that to me, like, I don't know. Something bigger always speaks to me through my gut. And I was sitting on the curb at like, I was at an open call for something. And I didn't really at that point in my life know that I wanted to do musical theater. I knew I loved it, but I had been doing it and my heart was kind of not in it, honestly, at the moment, at that moment. I had no idea who I was, no idea who I was. And I was sitting there and I just was outside the Telsey office. And I remember looking at all these people that were lined up to go into the call all together. And I was like, everyone here knows why they want to walk in that building and do that. And I do not know. I am not in the right place. And it became so simple. And I went, you got to go. Like you will be back when you're, if you are meant to be back, you will, but you got to go. And I stood up and I left and I moved back to Los Angeles. You know,
I had chills. That's so powerful.
I had a really similar, I guess it also involves sort of being able to read other people too, because I had a similar experience. I went to my first college I went to for musical theater was CCM.
Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah. I went for a year and it, you know, it just ended up not being for me. But I remember the moment that I realized like, oh girl, you got to go. Because we were watching this showcase and my God, everyone's so talented and so wonderful. And just up there nailing it. And I remember looking down the row at my classmates who I loved. And I was watching them watch this. And I was like, I'm not connecting. And I can see that everybody else is. This is maybe just, I'm not physically in the right place. I gotta go. Wow. You know?
Was that when CCM was a cut program? Like they would cut at the end of the
show? It was a cut program. It was. I don't, do you know when that ended?
I don't know, but I remember hearing an actress named Christy Altimar who did Anastasia.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I remember she like once spoke about it at like a concert and she like wrote a song and.
Sounds brutal.
Oh, you guys, it was wild. It was really wild. Yeah. It just felt, I mean, I'm sure it's so wildly different now, but it just felt none of it felt right. But I fell in love with my classmates, which was wonderful. And some of them are still my best friends. Like, to this day, I certainly don't regret. That was a super necessary chapter for me because it got really clear on like what I loved and then what I did not love.
Yeah.
But I remember this is such a weird thing. I'm just remembering this right now for the first time, but they would do these like feedback things, you know, and I remember going in for mid whatever feedback, like before you did the boards to sing to see if you were cut or not. And I remember they were like, why are you resistant to training? And I was like, whoa, because if you know me at all, that's the part I love the most, you know, like I sort of was like, oh my gosh. So it's either that I am being resistant to training and that really says something because that is not my, my normal MO, or I'm just not being understood here. Right. And neither one of those I love, you know? But I got lucky that was like a clear choice in the end too. Mm-hmm. And like, just overall been lucky that I've had a lot of support in like changing my mind.
Yes.
And trying something else and all of that. Yeah.
Gosh, you went to CCM for musical theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you study in California?
I went to USC and I went to their like BA acting program, which is huge. It's like 500 kids or something. And then they have a BFA program within that for acting. And now I think as of just this year, they have a new BFA musical theater program, which is very exciting. But at that time they didn't, they just had a BFA acting program. But I was like, you know, I went to high school for musical theater too. And I was like, I think I just want to like do a bunch of shit and see what I like. And then integrate that into theater and all of that stuff. But it was great. I still did all the musicals and then I got to direct there.
Oh, cool.
And I got to do improv there, which I did a lot of improv after college as well. So it was great. I just got to do a lot of things.
Any like that's awesome. Highlight roles or moments from those couple of years?
Oh, well, I got to direct Hello Again, which I loved. I got to do, we did Wild Party and then we did my senior year, we did Brigadoon, which I loved enough to get a tattoo of There But For You Go I on my foot.
Oh, nice.
So I would say I felt strongly.
Mm-hmm. Brigadoon.
is what it should be.
Right.
Is what it should be, Connor. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that doesn't help my name.
I love that you have a show tattoo.
I do. Well, it, it, I, didn't get it during the show, but I got it after, just sort of in the idea of like there, but I'm not religious in any way, but like there, but for the grace of God or something bigger, go I. Yeah. I'm, you know, just lucky to have what I have or whatever. And it's the, also, it's a song that I always hoped, you know, if I got married that I would walk down the aisle to that song. It was just one of those songs. Mm. And I was like, and I did walk down the aisle.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Yeah. What song from the show is that?
It's Tommy's song. It's Tommy's sort of big ballad in Act Two. It's just stunning.
I was lucky enough to see the New York City Center one with Kelly O'Hara and Patrick Wilson. And oh my God, it was a very sensory overload performance. So I don't remember a lot about it. Stephanie J. Block was in it. It was great. It was really
That's right. Yeah. I've listened to that soundtrack recently, actually.
Yeah, they did make one from that. They did. Yeah, which was cool. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, do we think we'll be getting one from Once Upon a One More Time? Has everyone asked you that?
So, you guys, I think about it every day.
Yeah.
I hope that we do. I don't have news on the topic as of right now, but we just have to.
I know. God. The arrangements are so, it's like, and you're beautiful every time. It's just like, we just need it. The people need it.
The people need it. The people need Jennifer Simard's Toxic.
Well, yes, of course. The gays especially need it.
It's for the well-being of all of us. This would be an act of service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know it's very expensive for shows to make a cast recording.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So hopefully. Yep. We've kind of been in your past now. We were talking about, you know, your high school years. We do have the Ring of Keys moment that we have to visit first, which you're familiar with the segment, of course.
Oh, guys, I'm so familiar.
You know it. Basically, that moment, for our listeners who haven't heard the pod yet, but that moment where you realized you were interested in the arts in a way that was bigger than just enjoying it. You needed to have a piece of the pie. Do you feel like you had that at some point?
You know what? Obviously, in listening to this podcast, I thought about this a lot. because I immediately was like, "But myself, though." But let's But let's take this person's experience and just relate it back immediately to myself.
Exactly.
No, but a very specific moment has popped into my brain more than one time, and I also at first was like, "But why, though?" And then I thought about it more, and I do understand why. And it was during. It was just like a moment of youth theater, basically, where I auditioned in high school. I went to a public high school first, big high school, wonderful theater program. And when I was a freshman, I auditioned for How to Succeed in Business. Not really trying. And I remember I got called back for the role of Hedy LaRue, who's kind of the, you know, she's the funny vampy vamp. But I remember there were a lot of girls that got called back for this particular part. And they, most of them were older, like upperclassmen. So they just also had this confidence that I full on did not have at all. Was not close to at that point. I remember the audition was, the director said, I want you to just walk across the stage. And this stage was massive. It was so big. She said, I want you to just walk across the stage because there's sort of this like vamp that she makes her entrance to. And she said, just walk across the stage. And a lot of the older girls had like just a confidence in their bodies that I also didn't have, you know? And so they did these wonderful, like beautiful, you know, struts out there and hit a pose and la, la, la. And I remember it just one girl went and I was like, I am not finding an in for this or whatever for me. And then it popped into my, I was like, I'm not comfortable. I just was like, I'm not comfortable and I don't know what to do. It was kind of a gut thing actually, again. And it was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I think it would be funny to walk in like I'm lost and I don't know where I am. And I just was like, that's what I would enjoy doing. So I'm just going to do what I think I would enjoy doing for the time I have to cross this stage or whatever. So I chose to walk across looking like I had no idea where I was for a long amount of time. And I remember hearing the director way in the back of the theater in the darkness. I heard her laughing really hard. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's really cool. And then like, so it was kind of the partnering of like, oh, this could be a thing that sort of brings me, like centers me in my own choices and like opinions about what I think is funny and what I think is funny and what rings true to me, who I am, you know? if I do that, sometimes it will make people laugh. That's cool, you know? And so that was kind of a moment I'll never forget after that audition of going like, oh, I immediately knew that I had done the right thing for me. And then I ended up getting that part and getting to do it in the show and everything. It was the best. It was the best. And then it was just, I did a silly version of it. And that was the version of it that felt right to me as a ninth grader, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, cool. So you get to transform. But in the transformation, where it starts is really, really with having to kind of tune into yourself in order to transform into something else, mm-hmm. you know, to really honor your own sort of opinion and your own gifts or whatever. And totally. I think that's really cool. I don't always have the easiest time doing that, like in life, but in theater, I really do, you know? Sure. And I think that's also what felt awesome about it.
Oh, I love that so much. That's a great memory.
I'm sure that as like a ninth grader too, like it made the nerves suddenly worth it. You know, like when you're sitting there watching totally. Everyone else and you're like, and I don't know if you're a nervous performer by nature or anything like that, but those nerves before are why I ultimately didn't continue doing theater because I couldn't justify them. I would like literally feel like so anxious. You know, I can't.
It didn't outweigh mm-hmm. that for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes total sense. There's some weird part that's also a part like I love that, like I love the fear.
You're a thrill seeker.
I don't know. I kind of am, yeah. Like previews for this, I was like, this is wild, and I'm also in heaven. Okay. Like it's so, you know,
because you're rehearsing during the day and then at night it might be a different show, right?
Previews, yeah. And we had an epic previews experience for this show, which I just think is so damn cool. Like
so cool.
It's so cool. You know, we had a 5-week preview period, 5 or 6 weeks, which everybody was like, this is a longer on the longer side of mm-hmm. previews. And we ultimately ended up rebuilding the entire second act of the show.
It's wild.
We really did. And like how aggressively we attacked changes. I just think it's the coolest thing because it's like, why not? Mm-hmm. And the only reason why not would be because it was scary or we're nervous about the risk or whatever, you know, but it was something that ultimately everybody decided had to be done. And it was wild having to, you know, we had to make some changes before the text. I sort of made some character shifts before the text supported the shifts that I was making. So we had like a few shows in there where I was like, this isn't going to make a ton of sense. A lot's going to work, but a lot about me is also maybe not. But it's like, that's what you have to do in order to arrive where you need to arrive by the sure. deadline that you need to get there, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And it was thrilling for me as an audience member and as someone who works and lives in the area and in the theater community I think at the second week of previews.
Oh my God.
And the energy was just amazing in the room, and to talk to people and all my friends who were going to see the show throughout those weeks, even Dylan up to, I think he saw it like 3 days before opening or something.
Yeah, it was the week of opening.
And so we were able to talk about, you know, the show I saw, and he's telling me about the ending and they had the song 3 in it now and different aspects of it that I was so excited to go back
yeah.
to see the show again, because as a living, breathing art form, theater can do that. And I think it's so exciting. I guess I'm curious, you know, you mentioned that you made some character changes yourself before the show itself was able to be represented in the book, mm-hmm. I guess. Like, who's making those decisions on a daily basis that's providing that feedback?
I mean, I think they had gotten a lot of feedback. I'm not sure the specific people that they get, that our producers and our higher-ups get the feedback from, but they had gotten certain feedback and then decided to make a bunch of changes. And then we were sort of told what the sweeping sort of arc of those changes would be. And mm-hmm. then, I mean, I've felt incredibly heard this entire process, I think, especially for how much I feel like they listened to me and trusted me, especially someone making a debut, you know, mm-hmm. I feel incredibly fortunate for how much they gave to me in that way, or allowed you know, me to share in that way. And so, you know, I always felt like I had a voice in sort of talking through the changes. And certainly my role in the show is also really the anchor of it. Mm-hmm. So it was just always like paramount to me that I understood exactly why she was doing something every second of the show, because there's a tether that if it's broken, you're just off in wacky land, you know? And it's a wonderful wacky land. It's magical and hilarious and self-aware and beautiful. But Sin really needs to be sort of the grounded anchor throughout that. She's a silly straight man in many ways.
I was just going to say, so often the straight man character is the lead.
Yeah.
And it ends up being, it's like Bobby and company. Sure. And then everyone else around them is sort of the more interesting ones. But I don't think that's the case with this one, because Sin is funny.
Yeah.
I mean, the one-liners that you get are just so great.
Oh, it's the best.
It's creepy, but it's fun. It's also got some great messaging behind it too. Yeah. Like, you know, it's so good. Yeah. Or the OFG.
Yep. The OFG. Yeah. I know. And that moment in Cinderella, the song Cinderella,
which has always been one of my favorite Britney songs.
Really?
I
didn't
always
have a connection to it till this. And I was like,
nobody knows it. And you can hear the audience be like, when we start singing it, because people just sort of don't know that song, but it's an actual song called Cinderella, like written from Cinderella's POV about being like, this sucks. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, that moment though, when your costume changes and you become,
oh my
God, the blowout. You've got, oh, it's epic. I'm obsessed with that look.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's really, really great.
One of my other favorite moments of you on stage in the show is actually during the curtain call, when you are just nailing the choreo.
During the Megamix?
Or the Megamix. Yeah, the Megamix.
Wow. I'm going to need you to tell me more about how I'm nailing the choreo.
I wish. I've seen it on social, like when you repost stuff.
Yeah, because that's all my Instagram has turned into. It's only the Megamix. Everyone's like, we get it. We've seen it.
No, you're so like natural, Briga. It's amazing.
You slay. You carry the confidence for sure.
Thank you. It's a role that, I mean, the second I read it, I was like, I've never understood anyone more. A person more. And it's the part has definitely, in all its iterations, asked me to not leave any previous versions of myself behind in its creations. Versions of me that I'm not proud of, they got to go in there, you know? Versions of me in previous relationships, they got to go in there. Young baby Briga dressed in, you know, her in her heinous Cinderella outfit. She's got to go in there, you know, and then the version that I am now, and then mom, you know, the mother in me too. And just it's like all sort of different chapters of my life have been necessarily included in who she sort of ended up being from, you know, in my version of her. And it's really cool to have a part that asks you to do that, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I also love the voice that you sort of put on as Sin. It's familiar in a way that it really draws, I think, the audience in. It's obviously not your normal speaking voice. What went into creating that?
I've found that I've sort of, voice has frequently been the first thing that I think, because it's musical to me, mm-hmm. you know, when I read a script, frequently the first thing I hear is a voice, and then sort of other things come in. So her voice in the show, it used to be actually different than it is now too. We've carried over a lot about her in the first act to also remain true in the second act. But in earlier versions, I had like four different vocal shifts that happened at very specific points throughout the show.
Huh.
Which has sort of been simplified now, so it's a slightly different version. I guess what went into making that, it's a lot of different thought, whether it's ended up being the final product or not. The thought process was really, I just think it's a really true thing, at least for, it has been in my life. My voice has been a way to sort of get different needs met. And when I'm really outside of myself and people pleasing and, or needing to be a little bit smaller or whatever, your voice goes up, it goes up, it gets smaller, and it goes up, and it mm-hmm. and And then if you have an urgent need that you have to get met, uh-oh, guys, I'm flagging it. It's getting actory, and I can't stop. It's happening.
Listen,
it's
happening. I'm eating from the
and anyone
hand.
That wants to tune out now, please, this is your stop, because it's happening. You know, when a character needs to get a greater need met, different things happen. And one of those things I've found that's really true is your voice gets lower. My voice gets lower, you know? And then there's sort of by the end of the show, I think there's a need for her to not, I think there's just sort of a release and a reveal of what her actual voice may be when she doesn't have to be bigger or smaller than she is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
And, you know, so it's kind of a lot of, there was, her voice was a sort of a big part of putting her together. And I like where it's landed a lot. And I was at the stage door a few nights ago. God, we just have the coolest fans for this show, you guys.
I'm so glad.
It's the best. It's an element of all of this that I never thought would like. I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but it's been an incredibly beautiful part of it. But I went to the door and I was signing for like a lot of little kids, and I saw them and they all sort of like were like this. And then one of them goes, wait, what's your, she was like, wait, that's not your real voice. And I was like, no, my voice is, it's actually kind of low like this. And she was like, wait, what? And then the other kids were going, wait, you don't talk like that? What's your, da-da-da? And then they're like, can you do it? Can you do the other voice? And so, you know, so I started to get it for them or whatever. And they were like, ah! They thought it was funny, but they were also a little bit like,
that's so cute. I like forget when I was super a kid, cute. Just believing everything I saw on stage. What a feeling, you know? Oh.
That's amazing. I haven't really thought about that, how it's like there's so many people in an audience every night. And there are so many people that are coming and they're like, this is the first Broadway show I've seen, or this is the first musical period that I've seen. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so good to remember before we go out there of like, to some people here, everything that's presented will be accepted as
yes,
truth.
Right.
You know, especially younger kids, obviously.
Totally.
Because you're not coming in with all your other stuff, you know?
Gosh, I love really that it's cool connecting thing. With people. I really do. It's, you know, every time like a show like this happens, I'm always like, oh, it's what we need, you know, because it's really magical. And I also think like, you know, Brittany's very much in the news cycle again. You know, this, she's got her book coming out. She has had a song come out today. And Connor was the one that kind of, you know, this is me not putting things together, was like, wow, the show kind of reflects some of what the things that she's gone through, like themes of herself, you know, being liberated and all of this
absolutely.
Over the years, and the narrator character,
yep,
the patriarchy controlling a woman. And yeah. It's also really relevant like that. Honestly, kind of like Barbie, now that right. I'm like thinking about it.
Self-actualization.
Yeah, I know. It is really cool. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago, it was like, when the Barbie trailer came out, everyone was like, have you guys seen the Barbie trailer? It's like, because there's a very similar, that record scratch moment of when she's like, do you guys ever think about dying or whatever? You know, it's like we have sort of an equivalent moment.
You do, you're
in our
right.
show of her going, is, you know, but is this Happy Ever After?
Oh,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then everyone's like, ooh.
Oh my God, I need to see it again already.
You know.
Your vocals are incredible. They're so clean. It's clear that you obviously studied musical theater and whatnot as well, you know, throughout your life, but also the dancing. There's an interesting choreography that happens here in Lucky that I'm very, very curious about.
Okay.
Is it ASL?
It is not. No.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay.
It is Keone and Mari Madrid, their choreography is super gestural. So it's it's absolutely connected to like a language, but it's just a totally independent like language that then they put movement to for the show.
It's like one of my favorite songs in the whole show.
Me
I
too.
Obsessed.
I love doing it. And to be given choreography that feels that good, like while you sing
oh,
it.
Totally.
I love it. Yeah. Fun fact, there was no dance audition for this role for me. And if there had been, I don't know that I'd be here, but it just fact, but they were so amazing in Keone and Mari, and just saying, you know, when we showed up, they were like, your job is to just not quit, and we'll tell you when we got to change something. That's your job, you know. And my God, what a gift, especially as a newbie, to be given that sort of like just grace and like container to be like, just focus on this one thing that we give you and don't give up. And it's great. And I've never, you know, I always danced because of musical theater. I've never loved dancing, and I love dancing in this show.
That's beautiful.
I love dancing because of this show. It's really cool.
Now, there was one Britney song that I was surprised didn't make it into the show, which is... Ooh. Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman.
I think that was in maybe a previous workshop, because I know there were many workshops before. Okay. I joined the show, and I've heard sort of murmurs about, I think that song was maybe in a super early version of it.
It just feels like it would fit for the themes. But,
it would fit. It would totally fit. It feels like it was like the show was only structured to have one sort of quiet sit down ballad, really.
Makes sense.
And it's every time, you know, which I'm so thankful for.
And it works. It makes it more powerful.
It's such a beautiful. God, that song is such a good song. Gorgeous. Yeah.
My favorite Britney song is Sometimes, which I feel we're robbed of the entire song, but I love the way it is staged and the way it happens in the show.
I know. It's we had the whole version, and then for storytelling purposes, it was like, we just don't need the entire version of Sometimes.
Yeah.
But God, I love Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, just amazing.
I know. Wait, Dylan, what's your favorite Britney song?
It's probably Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. I love the, it's in Anne Juliet. And so I still get a Broadway rendition of it, but I was just listening to her today while I was like getting ready for your interview, just like, you know, hyping myself up. And anything from like her Blackout era to me is just
Break the Ice.
Yeah. What's been like working with this cast of pros? I mean, we've got Justin Guarini, we've got Jennifer Simard.
They're the absolute best. It is the chillest, most supportive group of people that you could ever hope to find. And I mean, I imagine it would have been very, very easy for any cast to be like, hey, random lady who hasn't done this in a decade. Do you know what I mean? Like, I came in mm-hmm. like, okay, and anything that people, you know, think or have to, it's fine. And I understand that. And I will, you know, hang in. And I couldn't have felt more loved and supported instantly, which I don't know that you could say about every group of people, but you sure can about this one. It is the best. And everyone's just so funny, man. Like, everyone's so funny and so committed, willing to work so hard for this thing. Everyone, all of us, you know, I can't imagine starting this with a different group of people. And also like having the pandemic sort of in between starting and DC. And DC was a really tough experience because, you know, Omicron had hit and it was
right.
Everybody was still bringing all the stuff that we were coming out of the pandemic with, you know, which we all will be for a long time anyway, but to feel safe and supported with this group of people throughout all that has happened since kind of starting this thing. What a gift, like the hope of getting to reunite with them and the joy of what it would feel like to work together and people staying in touch and people, you know, lifting one another up. It was like, it was a huge part of getting through that experience, you know? So I also feel just on a personal level, like so grateful. I'm so grateful for what we've made, but I'm so grateful for the way that we got here.
I love it. Know? I'm obsessed with you all. I need to come back and do the show again. Round three.
You have to come back.
Well, listen, I feel like we could chat with you literally forever and we're friends now. So we will continue to chat offline and et cetera, et cetera. But yes. We do have to get to our dose of drama segment, you know, to share what's on our minds and our hearts, what we've been consuming, what we've been thinking about. And I'll go first because I did read a book. And as I told you before the podcast, it's the first one I've read in 7 months at least. And I read it in two sittings.
God, that's so wild.
And my friend Mac, shout out, friend, fan of the pod, Mac, he told me he read it in 2018. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm really behind here. But I read Daisy Jones and the Six, which became an Amazon series.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible book. Such an easy read, but also compelling and interesting. It's kind of about a Fleetwood Mac-style band that has highs and lows and interpersonal relationships through their professional success. That it has a quick rise and maybe an even quicker fall, but it tracks the time the band started till the end of their time together, and it is so good. Cannot recommend it enough. And I'm proud of myself for reading. I'm a reader. I'm the reader in Once Upon a One More Time, who ultimately
you are the reader.
You are.
Did you read for like 8 hours both days? Like how long were the sessions?
Okay, so it was a plane ride, and it was like a travel and a plane ride to Atlanta, and then two plane rides and layovers that took and an Uber ride home to finish. I couldn't put it down.
You read it in the Uber?
I couldn't put it down. I know.
Wow.
I feel so sick when I try and read in a car.
So it was like 2 days.
Especially an Uber in New York. I always feel like sick in an Uber in New
it's
York.
Jarring. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, yep. Dylan, did you have a dose of drama?
I do. It's more so just like a shout out during this section, because as you mentioned, we were in Atlanta, and while we were there, the most wonderful friend of ours who we met through this podcast, Craig, who is a dear listener and supporter of the pod, he showed us all around Atlanta. And Craig, we love you. You are so amazing and thankful that this podcast brought us together. And I can't wait to see you again at some point. So shout out to Craig and your wonderful husband, Galen.
Yes, we love. All right, Briga. Dose of drama time.
Okay. Well, you guys, I mean, we kind of already touched on mine, because I was going to come in hot with Mind Your Business, which is the new Britney song that I just sent around to the whole cast. I was like, are we all equally aware of what's happening? It's a bop, I think.
She only has bops.
The other bop that I feel like we're not talking about enough is Matches. Do you guys know Matches with the Backstreet Boys?
I'm not familiar.
So good.
Okay. I'm not familiar with Matches.
Dylan, you gotta listen to Matches.
What's your favorite Britney song? Is it Every Time?
No. My favorite Britney song is Circus. It was my audition pump up song until this job, when I was like, maybe I should find other material. But yeah, Circus is my all time fave.
Right. I guess I didn't like, sorry to like go off the rails on this segment here, but what's your connection to Britney? Like, did you love her forever?
Oh,
I can't believe we didn't ask this. I'm sure every journalist has asked you this, and we didn't.
And I have been obsessed with her my whole life, deeply, wildly. Like the chapters of my life are marked by the Britney music that I was listening to. Yes.
Wow. So before, you know, people mark their lives by the eras of Taylor, you know, these days, but you were with Britney. Yeah.
100%.
Incredible.
100%.
So where does Blackout stand for you? Like, was that like a good phase in your life?
Yeah, Blackout was like, I was feeling myself. Femme Fatale was like crying on the subway a lot.
That was those two mysterious years in New York.
Yeah, Femme Fatale was my mysterious years in New York. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it all makes sense.
It all makes
sense. We know that she is the only one profiting off the show now. Like, it's not going towards any other conservatorship type vibes. But has she seen it? I know that she gave y'all a big shout out.
She has. We're really hoping that she comes. I mean, you know, we just want her to come when it's right for her, and when it can be fun and good for her to come, you know? And we just, I would just absolutely die for her to see this.
Will you want to know if she's there?
Yes.
Or you will? Okay. Yeah, I think I'd be the same.
Yeah. I always like knowing when friends are here, when family are here, when pressure's on. I sort of like knowing all of that stuff. I think it's fun. And it's also like, it's a once in a lifetime thing. If that happens, I got to be aware of every second of what that experience is like.
Totally.
You know?
Oh, and she'll love it. I mean, she will absolutely love it.
I think so. I know she's really responded to the choreography and stuff, and I'm sure to just see it, you know?
Because she's so full of wonder. You know, she has that dreamlike energy about her that she's somehow never lost.
No, she hasn't.
It's very much in the heart of the show. So
it is. Yep. We worked really hard to hopefully make that stay true for the whole show. Mm-hmm. So I think it does.
Oh my God.
I love it.
This has like just been such an amazing chat. You, Briga, you are so kind and
I know.
And also so stunning. If anyone hasn't seen you, I mean, you literally like
your Barbie.
Gorgeous model. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, thank you guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks guys. It's all downhill from here. I promise. <No. laughs>
You know, I can tell you don't have a Zoom filter on, which like normally like, you know,
because I don't know how to do that. I don't even know.
Okay. Well, for me,
we are lucky. I am even, this is just the, it's yeah, I did great.
No, but seriously, this has been one of the best podcasting experiences I've ever had. You brought the vibes. You literally made our entire lives by being supporters and a friend now. So thank you so much. You're an angel.
I can't wait to actually meet you and hug you guys and just thank you for all of your work and everything.
Oh my God. I have so much I want to talk to you off pod too. So we'll definitely have to make it happen.
We're going to go off pod.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll have to do that. Thank you so much. And you're just on Instagram, right?
Yes, just on Instagram. Okay. At Briga Helen.
Boom. All right, we'll make sure to link it. Of course, Briga follows us at the Drama Podcast. Y'all should be following her as well. We're also at Connor McDowell, at Dylan McDowell. Briga, have a magical weekend of shows.
Thank you guys.
Again for doing this. This is certainly a dream come
highlight.
True for us.
Same.
All right. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.